From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome everyone back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together, the two of us, we make the Podcast of Champions. Yes, what we do is talk all things Big Ten football. I can't believe we're into week 12, but here we are. We're going to preview week 12 this week on the show live on our YouTube channel. We're also across any player you can get your podcast, all the podcasting platforms. It's an interactive show, David. We love to hear from the fans.
We love to hear from all four of them
or whoever they are. Yes.
We already have a question.
In the chat?
Yeah, and I think we need to play the breaking news sound.
Hold on. I have that in my other one. Hold on.
UCLA has extended its athletic director, Martin Jarmond, for 3 years until 2029. I have a question here from Alex, if you can pull that up on the screen. Banking early questions for David. Why, how, WTF?
The teams we cover, USC's had some bad news this week. So this is obviously good news for UCLA, at least, right? So
there's stability and security, right?
Yes. Lynn Swann thought about that a lot when he was USC's AD.
Martin Jarmond is not very popular in the UCLA fan base. And this extension...
He's not?
This extension was allegedly agreed to in the spring.
Okay.
Under Gene Block, who is no longer UCLA's chancellor.
Oh.
So...
Pardon gift.
Yes. So new Chancellor Julio Frank takes over in January. It'll be, interesting. But I think the situation is more one that was created last spring. Jarmond has, again, not very popular in the fan base, made some major missteps with how he handled Chip Kelly, and then the hiring of Deshaun Foster. We'll see how that works out. But not firing Chip Kelly in November was a major misstep. He oversaw the move to the Big Ten for UCLA and brought in Jordan Brand instead of Under Armour as the apparel provider. Those are kind of the two big things. He hasn't fired a major coach, so you haven't seen him do that. And his one major hire so far is Foster. So I think the fans are generally I'm looking at Bruin Report Online. You know, I'm looking at our message board.
Yes.
How's it going? Not enthused.
Swimmingly going?
Not enthused. But we'll see.
We have a comment from our buddy Matthew. When your extension has to leak 6 months after it's agreed to, is that a good sign?
Yeah.
I want to put Kevin's comment back up there. He says, the only reason I watch the show is because Ryan is one of Sheridan Weaver's cool friends. So we're like mutual friends on Facebook. I wished my friend Sheridan, she lives in Australia now, happy birthday. And Kevin was commenting on it like, how do you know Ryan? Like, you know Ryan too? Or whatever. So just shout out to Kevin and Sheridan, who I believe is in Australia still. I haven't seen her for a long time, but she came here a while back.
Okay.
If you want to get a hold of us, I was saying, we had the breaking news, mm-hmm. the great news for UCLA. We got some great news on the USC side too, so we could talk about that in a little bit. But if you want to email us, big10cast@gmail.com. You can call or text us, 424-532-0678. Teaser, we might have a Zodiac killer, resident Rutgers fan, voicemail. Again, a three-minuter that... pushes the boundaries of what we can have on our Google Voice line. You can tweet us, B1G Podcast, Big Ten Podcast on Twitter or X. And the Apple Podcasting app is still there. Spotify is still there. If that's how you listen to the podcast, we love it. And what you can do is go to your app and leave us a 5-star rating. And you can take it a step further with Apple. They let you do a review. You can write stuff about us.
That's like right, baby.
How we're terrible. How we're great, whatever. I've sent out some Trader Joe's gift cards for the best reviews. We'll reveal the newest reviews on our recap show, but get those reviews in. And if you got a good one, and we love it, we laugh, we will send you a Trader Joe's gift card. Thanks to John and Brea.
Love it.
It's good stuff. Yes. I love that. Also love our friends over at MyBookie. So go check it out. If you haven't signed up yet, someone texted us about signing up, and they had a little issue at first. I was trying to help him, but he said he figured it out. So any issues with it, signing up, let us know. I'll pass along or I'll do whatever I can to help you. But if you're a new user, you can use the promo code POC, and whatever you deposit, say you put in $50 or $100 or $200 or whatever, they'll match it up to 100%. So if you put $100, it'll turn into $200, and then you can follow along with our picks. You can go against our picks, whatever you want to do. We've had a lot of fun picking games. We care so much about it. I don't know why, but it's more just about the competition between me and David. He takes a lead or I take a lead. I had a big lead. It's mostly blown. He's right on my tail right now. So you want to fade me because I've been struggling lately. You want to follow Dave, or you want to just go against anything that we say or against the teams we cover. Whatever you want to do, you can do it over at MyBookie. Do the picks we do. Do the picks you want. You can do halftime stuff. You can do live betting. And they have a casino now. So, you know, Dave and I, we like to spend some time in the casino when we're in Vegas. Play a little blackjack. You could do some roulette. I don't know. Are you a roulette guy, David? Wait, I don't think we did that, did we?
No. I've played it, certainly. But no, not a roulette guy. I think to be a roulette guy, you either have to be extremely rich or I was going to say something mean. And I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of roulette players out there. Going to say extremely rich or extremely dumb, but that's not nice.
That's not nice. Kind. No. I do see like roulette strategies on Instagram. It's like, yeah, if you cover everything, then you're going to like, you know, like it's like stuff like that. Like bet the first 12, second 12, and then these numbers.
My strategy is to get extremely lucky.
Yes. It's more of just like walking by and put like 100 on black or red or whatever you want.
Yeah, no, it's a heat check. Like that's the only thing to use roulette for. Like if you're riding the heater, okay, I'm going to go put $200 on black.
Yeah. Or if you need to get back, yeah, you know, whatever it is.
Like, yeah. If you just keep betting black, eventually you'll make money, right?
Right.
Right.
So if you're doing that,
just like, keep doubling your bets. Isn't that the way this works?
Yeah. And you can do that on MyBookie. So if you put in, and if you, you know, like went with our picks and they stunk, then you're like, okay, I got to get it back. You could go over to the casino and do that over there. So make sure you go check it out. They've been great to us over at MyBookie, and hope you guys enjoy the experience like I have. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie. And of course, use promo code POC. Dave from Sequium, thank you, Ryan and David. With the end of the Pac-12, you faithfully reading every email is the only thing keeping me interested in, I think it means college football this year.
Dave is, interestingly enough, a very funny story taking you behind the scenes. Ryan was perusing the emails before we jumped in today, and it's Dave, ending. Sadly, Ryan has nixed reading your email because it is... Let me just hang on. I want to get the full count on this. Yeah, I'm gonna get the word count on what Dave submitted to us, which is a Tolkien-esque story about. Anyway,
we could put it on message boards or something to discuss. Like, but
to break it down. It is
how many words?
2,381 words.
Okay, so longer. No, we cannot read that.
That would take me, I think, about 10 minutes to read.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Yeah. My mom is in town. And she's literally waiting at home. I just came from the gym. I got my workout in. I'm going to do this damn show. And then I got to go take care of my mother. So, no, not going to read. I'm sorry, David. We cannot read that one. So, Kevin says, I'm now eating dog food, and my daughter can't go to college because I've been following Ryan's bets. I'm above 500. So, you wouldn't be broke if you followed my bets. I'm barely above 500. You would be.
I mean, did he say he was broke? He said he's just eating dog food. I mean, he had some money to buy dog food.
Right. But if you were eating dog food before and you couldn't afford to send your kid to college, then you're in the same. Like if you, whatever you bet, you would get it back if you bet with me. You'd be losing a little with David. So maybe you were a dog food eater.
Ryan earlier. Abraham, you can buy slightly more dog food with my bets.
Yes. So that's good stuff. Okay. We also have some other sort of breaking news in the USC world. Another slap on the wrist, probation a year's probation.
Absolute bandit program.
Yes.
I think it's time we all had a serious conversation about the death penalty and raising that program to the ground. The vile and disgusting acts I've read about from this round of sanctions, I'm appalled.
Yeah.
I'm appalled.
But USC was fined $50,000 by the NCAA, which apparently still has some power. There was definitely talk of trying to suspend Lincoln Riley for a game. And it's different if, like, Jim Harbaugh gets suspended. He was suspended for 6 games last year, and Michigan won the national championship. He wasn't calling plays on either side of the ball. Lincoln Riley calling plays. So that would have been a big thing. But it's no game suspension, a 1 year probation. Basically, having analysts being too active, helping players on the practice field, we are not supposed to
cheating?
Do.
Cheating? Am I hearing cheating from you?
It's actually... Well, pretty much happens everywhere.
Vile and disgusting.
And it's legal now. Like, it literally, the rule is gone. Like, you're allowed to do this now that you couldn't do in 2022.
Oh, so it's like the purge. On the day the purge is legal, all previous murders are fine? That's bandit program.
Yes. It's pretty funny, though. So people are getting all, so whatever. But the slap on the wrist. So the hits keep coming for USC there.
We cover two very stupid programs.
It's pretty funny. We've had like firings of coordinators and stuff in the past. The Nebraska one, we'll talk about that when we preview the game, is pretty funny to have like Danner Holgorsen, you know, the former Houston head coach and West Virginia head coach, Mike Leach guy, you know, air raid sort of dude, was in you know, Lincoln, they were trying to get him on staff. Matt Rhule was trying to get him on staff for a while. He was just around. And then just last week, they hire him as an offensive analyst. And then, like, before they even played a game, he's now the offensive coordinator. So that's a really, you know, that's an interesting one.
Satterfield had not done a good job there.
He has not. But it's hard when you weren't in it. Like, I don't know what you can do. I mean, I think the talk has been simplifying things, in which you have to, right? Because, we'll see. Like, it could be, this has been a bad offense, especially in conference. I mean, they're averaging like 14 points a game over this 3-game losing streak. They're desperate to make a bowl game. So I don't think it can hurt, right? But it's a really sort of weird move that you're not promoting from within. It's like you're bringing someone from the outside that runs like a completely different.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but that's some other Big Ten news around there.
That will change my outlook for the game this weekend, though.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get into some of these previews. So on byes this week, let's go over who is on a bye.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Also, the
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
So none of this.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
Well, they did cover last week and made me mad, but all right. We also, on a bye, we have...
Michigan Wolverines.
Wow. Ah, scratch, 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 scratch.
And mercifully on a bye after getting embarrassed by the Bruins.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Embarrassed by 3 points.
Embarrassed.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's why you got to extend the athletic director. Oh, that okay. Big win.
All right. That's enough. That's enough.
That big win over
Iowa. All right. All right.
Puke. That's a great name. All this football talk and no Franco-Prussian War general hot talk. The move to the Big Ten has changed this pod. Borbo, we're eating dog food this week. Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, we'll get into the previews. We got another Friday game. You know what I like about these Big Ten schedules is, like, you just spread out the Friday games. You don't want one team to have too many, right? Like, you don't want that to happen. Certainly not 2 weeks
certainly
in a
not.
Row
no.
Playing Friday. Oh, wait, we have...
UCLA Bruins.
Wow!
On the road, taking on...
Washington Huskies.
6 p.m. on Friday on Big Fox. UCLA 4-5, 3-4 in the Big Ten, heading on the road to take on Washington, which is 5-5 and 3-4 in the Big Ten. Washington is currently a 4-point favorite at home. All right, Washington should be better than it is.
Yes.
Which sounds confusing, but let me break it down. Offensively, they are top 25 in success rate, both running and throwing. But they are somewhere in the 70s in points per drive. Why is this? Because Jed Fish has been crushed by pianos all season. It's the saddest thing I've ever heard. It's like, you know, in those biblical plagues, like the locusts, it's just pianos just coming for Jed.
We have a request in the chat. Storage unit picking to the guy who made the Cignetti Foster killer drops. Foster kills drops. Can you make one for Jed Fish and pianos falling on his head?
Yes.
That is a request.
We need that one.
We need.
It's like the birds. You know the birds, the movie The Birds?
Yes.
Alfred Hitchcock.
It's very scary.
And the birds are attacking people. It's like pianos just flying through the sky coming for Jed
Fish. Like the person in like the telephone booth and there's like birds just flying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They've been so bad in the red zone. They've been so bad in scoring position this year, either missing field goals, calling just boneheaded plays, turning it over on downs, just turning it over. They've been miserable. But they can move the ball. Like they've moved the ball pretty damn well all year. Defensively, it's a little simpler. They're very good against the pass and horrible against the run.
Yes.
And unless you're Lincoln Riley, that dictates one thing and one thing only, run the ball. UCLA... sort of, kind of, maybe discovered a run game last week against Iowa. Mm-hmm. And Iowa was a little bit better of a run defense than Washington is. The Bruins are still pass-oriented attack, though. So this one's going to be incumbent on Eric Bieniemy to lean into what the matchup dictates and not necessarily what his desires dictate. But he's shown some flexibility of late. So I think UCLA will be able to move the ball pretty well. On the other side, I think Washington should be able to move the ball pretty well, but I can't suddenly decide that Jed Fish is going to be smart, right?
You can't?
No, I can't make that determination for him. Only he can. So 4 points, I'm taking them. I'm taking UCLA. They're a covering machine.
They are.
I don't know if they win. I predicted them to win on my website, but you know it could really go either way, but I think it'll be another very close game.
I'm with you on this. I was kind of going back and forth a little. Washington is one of those teams that's good at home and bad on the road. And I thought they could maybe translate that last week and just, you know, they pitched a nothing. It was terrible. They just couldn't do anything against Penn State. But they are much better at home. And it's funny, when I went up to Seattle a couple weeks ago, we knew that Washington was bad in the red zone. Well, they end up being good in the red zone against USC. They were 4-for-4. With 3 touchdowns and 1 field goal. They were bad on special teams normally. They're fine against USC. And, of course, their pass defense showed up because it's really good, but USC didn't run the ball like they should have. So I think UCLA will attack it a little bit differently. So I think they can run the ball. We saw some success last week. So I'm going to take the Bruins and the 4 points mainly because...
He knows the score. He knows geography. Foster kills.
He does kill spreads. So
murders the spread.
Yeah. I've seen some expert picks out there that were sort of split on this one. And I think a lot of it has to do with Washington does play. They just play better at home. But UCLA's shown that they can go on the road and not just flop. I will say this.
Washington has not lost at home since November of 2021. However, most of those wins came with Kalen DeBoer, who... prior to Alabama, was a killer on the Cignetti level. So, you know, how much do you actually take from that?
But, like, UCLA's not, like, we've seen Washington go on the road and just, like, flop and die, where UCLA's been not just spunky, but, like, being able to win the games. You know, I think they can, they don't go into a road environment, and it's tough to play in Husky Stadium sometimes. And there's a lot on the line. Someone said in the chat, too, like, you know, for bowl eligibility, we've had a bunch of games in the Big Ten this week that are important for bowl eligibility. But UCLA showed that they can hang with teams on the road. So getting 4 points, I'll take it. And, you know, who knows? This might be the game where they just get blown out And our buddy's kid in the chat is going to see his first loss, but we'll see.
And Washington needs this one for bowl eligibility because the last game is against Oregon, and they're going to be heavy, heavy dogs.
Yeah.
So this is it's senior night, it's a blackout, and they need it. So a lot of the emotional factors do favor Washington.
For Washington, yeah. All right, let's move over to Saturday morning. We only got one 9 a.m. game, so that's kind of cool. This team seems to be playing in this spot a lot, but we have
the Ohio State Buckeyes.
You know, you want to play at Wrigley Field? Because that's what's going to happen. We got
Northwestern Wildcats.
Ass. I feel for Ohio State fans. They've had to deal with, I think it's six straight big noon kickoffs to end the year. Pretty much.
It's insane.
That's nuts. But anyway, number two, Ohio State traveling to Northwestern, 9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. I guess this isn't the big noon game. It's just at noon, which sucks. It's six straight noon games, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Ohio State's a 28.5 point favorite. They just blew the doors off of Purdue last week. Northwestern is not a good football team, but they also haven't really been blown out like this year. They haven't really played anyone this good this year, but, I mean, Indiana, they lost at home by 17. Indiana's, I think, comparable offense, maybe not quite as elite defensively, but I think Ohio State, I mean, even if they shut out Northwestern, are they scoring 30? Maybe. Are they shutting out Northwestern, though?
I don't think so.
I'm taking Ohio State. Never mind. I'm talking myself back into it.
Okay.
Ohio State, yeah, minus 28.5. Because they could shut them out. Northwestern's offense is very bad. They can't really run the ball. They don't really throw it that well. And Ohio State's defense is, you know, one of the elite defenses in the country. So
they're very good.
Yeah, I like Ohio State to limit them to under 10. And if they do that, it's hard for me to imagine Northwestern on the other side playing like the best defensive game in history to limit this Ohio State team under like 35.
Matthew says, who's throwing out the opening pitch long snap? And
that'd be cool.
Mark will be there. Wrigley Field. Yeah, man. I got to take all these points. Like, I've not been – Oregon of late has been better at covering these big ones. They didn't last week. Every time I pick Oregon to cover a big spread, they don't. And every time I don't, they do.
Oregon.
So I'm saying, but I think Oregon's been better at covering the bigger spreads than Ohio State has been, if I'm not mistaken.
Ohio State covered 38 last week.
They did.
Against Purdue.
I did. But that's Purdue.
Northwestern's kind of Purdue.
They're not Purdue.
They're kind of Purdue.
They're not.
A little Purdue.
They're Purdue adjacent, but yeah. Not... Yeah, I did. That was my only cover last week, is Ohio State covering that big one. But I don't know. I'm going to take the points here.
All right.
And see if this is like a muckety game it's in a baseball stadium, David.
Uh-huh.
Like, so you can't, like, you have to throw everything out the window when it's a baseball stadium.
Throw it all out the window. Just make sure the window's open first. Baseball can break a window.
Jim says, there are tight end zones. Wouldn't want to run into the Ivy wall. Yeah. There's a lot of like X factors in this game. So just give me points when that's like, who knows what's going to happen. Also, so Mark says, OSU will have a lot of backups. They still have seven more games this year. Insane. Well, I don't know if they have seven more games, but I guess if they go to the
final. He said they have as many as seven more games.
Yeah, as many.
Yeah.
They might have seven more games.
Yeah.
If the ball gets stuck in the Ivy, the defense gets the ball at the 20. I didn't know that one. That's a good one to know. Okay. Let's move on to our next game. We're already differing on picks. I like it.
Love it.
This one is
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
At
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
All right, so Illinois, they got the week off last week, as did Michigan State. So these two teams
are
fresh-ish.
Fresh.
Illinois has looked a little bit broken basically since the second half against Purdue. Even against Michigan, the offense struggled very much so. And then Oregon blew them out and Minnesota pretty much dominated that game. They only won by 8. Michigan State just got absolutely smoked by Indiana last time we saw them, and then had a very disappointing outing against Michigan where they probably should have been in a closer game.
Yeah.
I really don't know about this one. All right, so let's actually list off the things. 11:30 a.m. on FS1. Michigan State is 4-5. Illinois 6-3. Illinois is a 3-point favorite.
We have a 2.5. So.
Oh, two and a half?
Yeah.
Do you want 2.5 or 3?
2.5.
All right, 2.5. all right, so I'm looking at this one, and basically I'm not really sure if Aiden Chiles is going to throw – 2 interceptions or 4? And if it's 4, they obviously lose. If it's 2, they have a chance.
Yes. I like this analysis.
Illinois' run defense isn't very good. Its pass defense isn't a whole lot better. Michigan State could move the ball pretty well. But it's only 2.5 points. Screw it. I'm taking Michigan State.
Wow. All right. We'll differ on this one as well. They are a broken team. We haven't seen Illinois look like the ranked Fighting Illini that we had seen earlier. And I feel like getting back at home after the bye week, they're going to play better against Michigan State. Now, Michigan State could come out and be gangbusters and stuff, but I'm sort of banking on the Aiden Chiles, like, you know, 2 picks and a fumble kind of thing, and then Illinois takes advantage of that. So I'm going to take the Illini, only laying 2.5.
They're just pretty bad defensively.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to take Illinois here, just that they're at home. It's coming off a bye week. It's hard to tell either side what they're going to do. But I like the Illini this week.
So all right. Cool.
I'm going to go there. The second one of our, like, top team playing a bottom dweller, we have
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr. And they're playing the team that is adjacent to them. Well, no. Northwestern was, they're
Purdue adjacent.
They're a little worse than Northwestern, yeah. I'd say.
Purdue Boilermakers.
12:30 p.m. on CBS. Number 4 Penn State 8-1, traveling to Purdue 1-8. Purdue has yet to win a Big Ten game. They probably will not win a Big Ten game this year. Penn State is a 28.5-point favorite on the road. This is the worst team Penn State's played since Kent State, and Kent State they blew out 56-0. I think this is a welcome respite for that team, because it's been a little bit of a gauntlet. They got Illinois before Illinois was kind of broken.
Yeah.
They had to go on the road to USC, and that ended up being a very tough game. On the road at Wisconsin, Ohio State at home. Even Washington was pretty frisky. Purdue is not frisky, so I think the concern here for Penn State is, do you lose attention? Do you lose focus because it's Purdue? But here's the thing to understand.
Yes.
Purdue's a horrible fucking football team. Sorry, Griffin, that's your one. There's not going to be another one. Horrible team. Absolutely devastatingly awful. Penn State's pretty good. Purdue is more than capable of losing a game by 40 points. So I'm going to take Penn State. I don't want to sit there again. It's kind of like Ohio State last week. I don't want to sit there again like rooting for a terrible team to score 3 at the end of a game. You know, I'd rather just, you know, root for the reality of what's happening, which is going to be a blowout of some form. And okay, let's have it be a monster blowout.
I'm going to agree with you on this one. If you're looking at Northwestern, they are at 4-5. They're 3-6 against the spread. Not very good. Purdue is 1-8 and 1-8 against the spread. So they had that one game after they fired Graham Harrell. They scored 49 points. They covered that game. That's it. That's the only game that they end up covering. And the next week they get shut out. So, yeah, I think this was one where I think Northwestern can sort of like you know, kind of keep it close with Ohio State potentially, and you know, lose by 24 or something like that. It's hard for me to picture that with Purdue. It just seems like Penn State's going to blow them out of the water. So I will lay the 28.5 with Penn State and agree with you, David Woods.
Beautiful.
This one I'll be covering. We've got
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
And they're going to L.A. That's where UCLA is, I heard. But they're not playing them. They're taking on
USC Trojans.
1 p.m. on Big Fox, Nebraska in desperate need of another win to achieve bowl eligibility is 5-4. They are traveling to USC in desperate need of two more wins to preserve a chance at bowl eligibility. USC, they are 2-5 in conference. Nebraska is 2-4. USC, do we want this number? Because I've got 9.5 now.
Oh, yeah, let's go 9.5.
Yeah, all right, so USC minus 9.5.
Let me update my staff. We're going to change it to 9.5.
Yeah, change it to 9.5. You want that half a point. Boy. So Nebraska's had a tough road lately. They most recently lost to UCLA. That was 2 weeks ago. Before that, they played very close against Ohio State, lost that game. And then before that, got blown out by the killer Cignetti. Let's again remember back to the beginning of this season when Nebraska was looking pretty good. Like, they looked like a good team.
They're 5-1.
They
must be bowl eligible by now, right?
They've hit a tough stretch. They had to play two top five teams, yes, in Indiana and Ohio State, both on the road, and that sucked. And then UCLA, I think, came at a poor time. It came, you know, after that, and also with UCLA surging. If they'd played UCLA in the fourth game of the year, I have no doubt Nebraska would have won. But they've had a week off now. They've had a week to kind of reassess things, and they've hired a new offensive coordinator who happens to be one of the better offensive minds in college football in the last, I don't know, 20 years, right? And Dana Holgorsen.
Yes.
So put that there. I think you're going to see a better Dylan Raiola this week. I think you're going to see a more cohesive offense. I think it'll look better than it did against UCLA when Dylan Raiola looked like scared to do anything.
Yeah, you were like not impressed. You were at that game.
I think he'll be better because he's never looked that bad before. So I think he'll be better. USC is making a quarterback change that they've worked on now for over a week. Jaden Maiva, he'll be the starting quarterback for this game. He's more of a dual threat. He can move a little bit. Apparently USC's receivers were impressed with his deep ball this week in practice. Looking at like the actual matchups, USC's offense is the best overall unit in this game, but Nebraska's defense it's a little bit of a random number generator. Sometimes it's very good, sometimes it's not so good. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this though, so I'm gonna say it'll lean a little bit more towards good. And then USC's defense, pretty horrible against the pass, a little bit better against the run. Nebraska is not so good throwing the ball, a little bit better running the ball. It strikes me as a low-scoring game. It strikes me as something where these two teams are going to be playing this one in the low 20s-ish. But with the low scoring, I also anticipate Nebraska covering.
Yes.
So give me Nebraska plus 9.5.
Yeah, this is, I mean, when you sign up for the Big Ten, these are the kind of games you want. You know, Nebraska coming in, they've lost three straight. USC lost 4 of 5. Like, this is the kind of stuff you want, you know. But both teams are desperate. I mean, Nebraska is certainly desperate to make a bowl, considering, like we said, the 5-1 start. And then losing three in a row, and you know, without winning this one, I mean, it's going to be tough for, I think, Nebraska to make a bowl game if they can't get a win Saturday. Not impossible, of course. Going to get a couple more chances, but this is going to be a tough one. And for USC, you have to win this game if you want to make a bowl, because it's looking like sweeping UCLA and Notre Dame, who's playing really well right now, probably not happening. So I'm going to take the points here as well. It's hard to say, but like just like the other game we talked about with Michigan State and Illinois, both teams coming off a bye. both teams making changes on the offensive side. And the Nebraska run defense, I think, is very, very good. And USC played a very good pass defense and just threw it a lot. Now you bring in a new quarterback who can run it more. And I think USC is probably going to try to run it more than they did against the better run defense, which is just kind of Lincoln Riley. I think he's going to do that. So I'll take Nebraska in the points for this one. We'll see. I mean, it's USC's played much better at home. They've covered at home, you know, even against Penn State. You know, they had a 14-point lead in that Penn State game. But I think simplifying the offense at this point and helping out your freshman quarterback will be beneficial. And this Nebraska team's what, averaging 14.7 points in their last three games in Big Ten play. You know, if they can score 20, like, I don't know if USC's scoring 30. So I think that's kind of the range, like you said, like, you know, maybe USC wins, you know, 28-20 or something like that. But yeah, I'll take Nebraska in the 9.5 points. All right. Two more games we've got.
Rutgers, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
At
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap, 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 snap.
All right, this game is at 3 p.m. on FS1. Rutgers is 5-4. Maryland is 4-5. Rutgers is traveling to Maryland. Maryland is currently, do you want this, 6.5?
Oh, let me see.
They're favored by 6.5 now.
Yeah, let's take it.
You want those points?
I do.
Mm.
I'm taking the Rutgers, baby.
Wow, look at you. All right, so Rutgers may have gotten right a little bit last week against Minnesota. That was a good Minnesota team that we've talked about. They've gotten a little bit healthier, even with Kyle Manungai out last week. They've gotten perhaps a little bit healthier. Got a couple of guys back and looked once again more like a disciplined, kind of sound Greg Schiano team. And coming back up off the mat after that 4-game losing streak where they just looked so inept for so much of it, that's pretty impressive. And once again, now a bowl seems like something they can think about. Maryland is just they've really struggled of late. How about we say that? They've lost 4 of 5. Their one win, I think you might be familiar with it.
Yes. 29-28.
They beat USC at home by a point. But besides that, they've mostly gotten blown out by teams, including Northwestern at home. I the theory of the case that Maryland's just kind of broken right now feels right. It's not as if they're bad. They're not like Northwestern or Purdue or something like that. It's just they don't, Billy Edwards is suddenly throwing some picks. They just don't look as cohesive as they looked at the beginning of the year. I'm going to buy the Rutgers resurgence a little bit and just take the points. So I'll take Rutgers +6.5.
You're going to follow me on this one? Okay. Yeah. Same thing. Like, I'm not sure why both these teams are like, 4-5, 5-4 against the spread. Like there's just kind of like, it's different every week. It's like it's rolling the dice. It's like a grab bag kind of thing. And with that being the case, like almost a touchdown favorite. I've seen Maryland and they played like a couple good quarters against USC, and outside of that, not a lot. And I was really impressed with what Rutgers. I didn't think Rutgers was going to be that feisty last week, especially without Kyle Manungai. I don't know what his status is. Is he out again? Do you know?
I don't think it's been reported yet.
Okay. But yeah, one of those things where both these teams are sort of like, coin flippy into everything. And, Maryland's only won one Big Ten game. I mean, it's not that far of a trip for Rutgers. It's not like a terrible, you could probably take a bus. I'm going to take Rutgers here in the 6.5 points.
Makes sense.
And then one last one. We've got
Oregon Ducks.
They're on the road taking on. Oop, that didn't work.
Mm.
Hello, button.
Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, this one's at 4:30 on NBC. This is the primetime game. Number one, Oregon, 10-0, traveling to Wisconsin. Oregon is a 14-point road favorite. Ryan, do you remember all the way back at the beginning of the year?
I remember.
When I predicted certain things about this Wisconsin football team?
You had them beating Oregon and maybe Ohio State?
Penn State.
Okay.
Oregon and Penn State at home. They played competitively against Penn State for a little bit, but then they ultimately lost. But the last time before that that they played an elite or near elite team at home, it was Alabama, and they lost 42-10.
Yes.
There's been changes since then. It's a new quarterback. They looked a lot better midseason. But I can't shake that the last time we saw this team, they were getting blown out by 32 to Iowa, an Iowa team that just the next week lost to UCLA.
Yeah.
Is Luke Fickell working there? Like, is it going to work out? Just gut answer right now.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
It's no. And that's crazy to me because 2 years ago I would have said, oh, yeah, he's a home run no matter where he goes. Anyway, Oregon, obviously.
Wait, you're not good to go?
No, I can't. I thought Wisconsin was going to have some things figured out this year, but they just don't. It would take a massive surge now for them, I think, to figure those things out. I think they're making a bowl this year, but much beyond. I mean, I guess they could beat Nebraska and Minnesota at the end of the year, but they could also lose both of those. Probably 6-6, but yeah, I think Oregon of late has not looked like the last two games. They have not looked nearly as dominant as they looked in the previous couple.
Right.
But I think they're a far better team than Wisconsin. And I think the matchups favor them too. You know, I think their rush defense is pretty darn good. Wisconsin's basically has to run the ball to win. And I think Oregon's going to be able to stuff it for the most part. So yeah, I like the Ducks.
Let me see who the covers in this one. I'm going to take the Ducks in this one too. Oregon's 5-5 against the spread. So it's kind of one of those things where, like, I pick them to cover. They don't. You know, last week they didn't cover. I pick them to cover. Wisconsin's 3-6 against the spread. So they're a little worse with their 4-5 record. So, yeah, I'm going to take Oregon in this one as well. It's not that many points. This is a road game, night game. I mean, this is the latest game we've gotten. It's a 4:30 West Coast kickoff. But I feel like this is one of those Duck games because there's a, you know, Wisconsin does have brand power, and I think you're going to get Oregon's full attention on this one. So yeah, it's 14 points, not a lot. I think Oregon can go in there and kind of put on a show, you know, and then really push towards making the Big Ten championship game and trying to get that number one overall seed in the college football playoff. So
yeah, and there some people in the chat are mentioning Tez Johnson's out, and yeah, that is true. I think they've got enough speed and talent in that receiving core that I'm not super worried about it against Wisconsin.
They might be the fastest team in the country, you know.
Yeah,
at all, like a lot of positions.
Well, and I expect Oregon's going to lean on the running game in this one because Wisconsin's run defense isn't very good.
Mark says Luke Fickell is a great coach, but Wisconsin probably needs to go back to the Barry Alvarez formula, big offensive lines and almost as big tailbacks. That seems to be like the DNA, right? And then
yeah,
doing that. Okay, that's all our games. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do some questions. Alrighty, we're back here on the Podcast for Champions. If you're watching on YouTube, we didn't go anywhere. We're still here. But, you know, we have to take a little break for our podcast to pay the bills or, you know, make a dent in paying the bills. We don't really get to pay the bills. Yeah, where's the super chats?
Yeah, where are the super chats? That's what we want to know.
If we know super chats, I don't know if UCLA is going to keep their winning streak going. You know, we need that.
That's a good point.
Okay, so let's go. Should we do the voicemail right off the bat?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. One of the best voicemailers out there. Still need his address. He hasn't sent it yet.
But we definitely need his address.
Here you go.
Hello, Ryan. Hello, Sith Lord Dave. That's right. It's me, the resident Rutgers fan. Well, well, well. Here we are, the most glorious college football week of the year. Rutgers puts it on the old Golden Gophers, the old Golden Flex, and Stanford had a bye. Beautiful week. Time to get healthy. I'm back. Tell John and Brea, if he could forget the gift cards, if he could just call every Trader Joe's in the I-5 corridor and let him know that if anyone comes in calling themselves resident Rutgers fan, that you're good for $31 worth of high-level cleaning solvents, and also those little dark chocolate peanut butter cups. That would be outstanding, because I'm about to fire up. Welcome back to the diaspora. Pac-12 edition. We're going ACC and Big 12 action this week. Let's talk about karma. Karma has visited itself upon the former Pac-12 members like the Grim Reaper. First to leave the conference last year, blowing it up, USC. How's it going, guys? How's that? How's two conference wins and a losing record feel right about now, huh? Oh, 5 of the 10 defectors now have losing records. If anyone said they had Utah with one conference win, Arizona with one conference win, USC with two conference wins, the only Power 4 team from the state of California with a winning record being Cal, if anyone said they had any of that on their bingo cards, you're a liar. And I love it. That's the kind of sociopathic behavior that I reward. Here's a 1984 Rance Molnick's Toronto Blue Jays card for you. Thanks for the eye contact. Let's talk about ACC, what's coming up this week. Well, the Louisville Cardinals, ranked 22 in the country, are coming to the farm. Stanford's last home game of the season, and literally dozens of people will be watching. Line on this one is 20.5 points, and I would definitely take Louisville. Lay the points, because until Stanford shows that they're healthy enough on the back end or in the trenches to actually be competitive, this one could get ugly. Cal hosting Syracuse this week. It's too far to come. It's too weird. Memorial Stadium's too weird. Cal's laying 8.5 points, and I think go with the Golden Bears there. But watch the over at 55.5. I think this is going to be a big high-scoring game. Wake Forest and Cal had threw up over 80 the other week, and I did not see Syracuse being worse than Wake Forest on offense. When it comes to Big 12, what's going to happen in the Big 12? Frankly, who cares? But let's see if Colorado reverts back to the mean. Let's see if Cam Scataboo really is the best player in America, the new Chase Garbers, if you will.
And that's it. So he just goes on. Great stuff.
Great stuff from the Zodiac Killer. From resident Stanford Rutgers fan.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
We got some weird emails. I think Kevin starts us off with, can this Pokemon play football?
Okay. All right.
Inspired by Stephen A. Smith clip breaking down if Miwatu can beat LeBron 1v1. I'm wondering if you guys could analyze the ideal position for this Pokemon on the football field and the highest level they could play if they reach their full potential. It's the Venusaur. I literally know nothing about Pokemon, so I can't.
I know nothing, absolutely nothing about Pokemon.
Yeah. So it's a little dinosaur looking thing with a.
I mean, that looks like a fullback. I mean, it looks like a fullback to me.
Yeah. If you could see the picture, I don't know. I didn't even know this was still a thing. I guess it's a thing. Okay.
I could also see Rush End.
Maybe. Here's a. It's literally a palm tree on its back.
Yeah, Venusaur. Yeah, I think a disguised Blitzer.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got the palm tree. You might just think there's a palm tree on the field, and then suddenly he's in the backfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, this is from Rugged Sissy. It's address information for you, I think.
I don't know. Did this person win?
Yes, Rugged Sissy won.
Oh, okay. Come on, I asked you to email the Ryan at USAFootball.com. Yeah, not here.
Anyway, thanks for the always entertaining, occasionally informative, and sporadically football-focused podcast. I must say, I don't know how you manage 2 episodes per week when even watching 1/4 of a Northwestern game makes me want to self-immolate. On a side note, I cannot wait until your new OG Big Ten podcast fans get into the podcast Disney Princess President season in earnest, which gives me a terrible idea slash question. Which princess or Disney villain is best represented by which president? Maybe save that for January. Thanks in advance to you and John and Brea for the peanut butter filled pretzels.
Ah, all right. I forward that to me. You don't have to.
Okay, good. Yeah, so and also let's pin this one because we will come back to it in a couple of months.
Yeah.
All right.
We got Oxnard Steve texted us. He said, now that was perfect. In running through the latest Pac-12 power rankings, Ryan has an unplugged, uncontrollable sneeze as soon as USC gets mentioned. What perfect timing. And that's the team he covers for a living. As a Trojan, I'm upset with the season. But as one who also appreciates the little things in life, the at-shoe heard round the world made my day. Oxnard Steve.
Very fun.
I didn't know that I sneezed during that.
I didn't know either. POC co-parenting. David, you now co-parent your progeny with each Big Ten coach. What wisdom, skills, or trauma do they each impart, and how do you rank their expected co-parenting capabilities? Wow. Well, Jed Fish obviously makes your child one of the dumbest people alive. Dan Lanning.
But he has a lot of cool friends, though.
Dan Lanning will only create type A personalities with severe anxiety disorders.
Okay.
Lincoln Riley. I think, what is it? Narcissists beget narcissists?
I think so.
Right. So probably narcissist. Deshaun Foster, I think you'll have like the most well-adjusted and even-keeled kid in the world. Mm-hmm. Just super, you know, chill. Kirk Ferentz, you got old dad syndrome there. You know, the kid doesn't grow up playing sports. They only read a lot because, you know, he's not around to throw the ball. Matt Rhule, I don't know. I'm a good feel for Matt Rhule. He's kind of cuddly. He seems like a hugger. Doesn't he seem like a hugger?
But like,
I think you would have an affectionate child.
I think he's a good organizational skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
Luke Fickle is like just a pure wooden board of a man. I have no idea what is going on underneath there. So who knows? I'm going to throw David Braun in the same boat.
Do we do PJ Fleck?
PJ Fleck, the kids will be disciplined growing up, but then they're going to rebel hard in college.
They're like, Dad always said to row the boat.
He was a big yeller. He screamed at us a lot. And so we didn't do bad things, but then we went to college and we got super into drugs, right?
Nice.
Who am I missing? We got to do Ryan Day.
Oh.
Obvious. I mean, so he's obviously deep insecurity, man, right? So deep insecurity, man, I think that's going to beget kids with low self-confidence. They're not going to believe in themselves. And okay. They're going to say things like shouting on TV that they want to beat up like an 85-year-old man, you know? Michigan, Sharon Moore. Again, he kind of goes in the David Braun, Luke Fickle category where I don't know. He cries on TV, so he's open about his emotions. That's cool. Kurt Cignetti, I don't know how sociopaths raise children. I would guess, you know, the heirs of affection, but he is a killer. We know this.
Yeah.
Who am I missing? James Franklin.
There's like a presidential feel.
A presidential feel. He seems kind of above it all.
Yeah, like there's dignity.
A lot of like order in your life. Like you are sitting down for dinner every single day at 6 o'clock.
Oh, I like it.
And you're having family dinner and you can't leave the table until you finish your food, like that sort of stuff.
And you have a map of like the grocery store when you get there. You know where you're going.
I'm going to say pretty like probably on the more disciplined OCD side of things, but probably relatively normal kids. Yeah. Rutgers, Greg Schiano. Seems like a good dad. Like seems like he'd be solid. He'd throw the ball around in the backfield, in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
I like that.
And Mike Locksley. Again, I'd put him in the same Greg Schiano category. Seems like a solid dad. So did we miss anybody?
Did you do Foster?
I did.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, super well adjusted.
Okay.
Is that it? Am I missing anyone?
You did a lot. That was awesome. That was well done, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. This one, okay, so we have a problem here. We can't read his whole thing. I could read the beginning of it or
something. No. Dave, maybe next week. We got to get going, and this is going to take us 10 minutes. So I don't mind reading this.
For real?
I will read it at some point, but we can't do it today.
It would take you 10 minutes.
I'm going to star that one.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do a separate recording and just post it.
All right. Yeah. You want here? Do Alex? I'm going to get the other questions.
This is Coach Alex V. Belief in the programs you cover, gents. A couple questions each. Dave, what does Deshaun Foster have to do in these next three games to have you believe the program is headed in the right direction? Also, what needs to be done for them to be a top tier Big Ten team? To believe the program is headed in the right direction, it's kind of a moving target. They need to do enough that they can generate the NIL to be competitive in the transfer portal, which starts in 3 weeks, because they've got a lot of guys to replace. I think what that looks like in practice is probably going 2-1 down the stretch here. For me personally, if they go 1-2, I would still look at it as, well, they got better. They improved, and the improvement is obviously, I mean, even if they went 0-3, but if they went 0-3, they're losing to Fresno State. But the improvement is noticeable when you watch them. So I think, like, from a coaching chops perspective, you know, get cautiously optimistic based on the results of the last few games. But the reality of the program and its direction is going to be hugely dependent on what happens in December. You know, what happens in this transfer portal window, because they need a lot of players. They're going to need a quarterback more than likely. They're going to need offensive linemen. They're going to need defensive tackles. They're going to need edge rushers. They need a lot of stuff to get back to just where they are right now, let alone improving. So there's a lot of money to be raised in the next 3 weeks. And, you know, UCLA, I think, has improved somewhat in their money.
That's good.
But they need to improve a lot more. So I think that has to be the mission heading into the portal window.
All right. What's the second part?
And Ryan, do you still believe Lincoln Riley is steering this program in the right direction? What do you feel is missing to get them back to be in the conversation with Texas, Alabama, Michigan, and so on?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going in the right direction at all. And so, no, I don't think it is. I think USC and Lincoln Riley are going to be attached at the hip. There's not an option signing him to this massive contract, which I don't put any blame. When I didn't blame UCLA for hiring Chip Kelly, like, seemed like that would work. It didn't. You know, you didn't blame Nebraska for getting, who's the dude that failed? What's his name? The former quarterback at Nebraska, like
Scott Frost.
You know, like, hey, that looked like it's a perfect fit. You know, hiring a blue blood, LSU getting Brian Kelly, blue blood guy, went to the, you know, they're not happy with him. USC fans aren't happy with Lincoln Riley. I don't blame the hire, but it's not working out that way. And I think, if you're USC, you have to try to do everything you can to make him successful. But I think Lincoln Riley, a lot of it's on his plate too. It's not just, hey, I'm Lincoln Riley, this is how it works. Like, you have to get out there and recruit hard. And they've raised a bunch of money. Like, they're much better in the NIL space. But it's not just about having a bag of cash. It's how do you use it? And they've just not been very good at all that stuff. So it's not going in the right direction. But USC is not going to get a chance to get someone else to get in there and fix it. They have to figure out a way for Lincoln Riley to make it successful. So I think some of it's USC supporting him in ways that's like, you have to support a child that's not, you know, it's just weird. You know, you have to figure out a way to support him, but also Lincoln Riley has to do some things differently. He seems like a very stubborn human being. Like most coaches at this level, like Dave says, very highly paid gym teachers, but very stubborn, and he's got to do some things different too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all accurate. And he's, it was the thing about Chip Kelly coming out of Oregon, and we joked about this, and I was making jokes about it, but it is honestly kind of similar, which is that Chip Kelly inherited a just complete machine at Oregon. And just had to be the guy operating the machine. He didn't have to build the machine. Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, he inherited a machine from Bob Stoops. He didn't have to build the machine. He at USC, he had to kind of build it.
Yeah.
And it's a different job. And Chip Kelly at UCLA had to build it, and it's a different job. And now the thing with Lincoln Riley is he's younger. So in theory, you know, he can grow on the job, but he hasn't shown many signs of that.
Right.
And it's been a lot of defensiveness, a lot of.
Yes.
And a lot of saying things that do not appeal to the USC fan base in any way, like a lot of defensive whininess about we've played a tough schedule or X number of plays away and all that kind of shit.
Right.
Sorry, that's Griffin. Second one. Griffin, sorry.
Does the S word count?
S word doesn't count.
You can say that on like Comedy Central and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
It shouldn't count. Let us know, Griffin. but he's not really growing on it. He's not really growing into it. And so I think that's got to be the concern if you're a USC fan, that it's just it's the same stuff year after year. And he hired a new defensive coordinator this year. The defense is a lot better, and it's still the same sort of deal as last year. Like they're finding a new way to kind of screw up. And it's something that coaches fall into. A lot of UCLA basketball coaches over the years have fallen into, which is thinking your system is so good that it doesn't really matter what about the personnel fit.
Yes.
Because the thing with Miller-Moss, and I think you and I both agree on this, he's not a bad quarterback. Like, I think he's going to go somewhere and probably have some success after this season. But is he a fit for what you want to do, Lincoln? Like, is he a fit for how, when you self-scout your offense and you self-scout, man, how many times did I call a bad play that Caleb Williams bailed me out of? And you got to bake that in then to, can I do that with a guy who's a little bit less mobile?
Yeah.
Who's just kind of standing there? And you've got to be able to self-scout. And that happens a lot in this business where guys get so high on their own supply that they think they can plug in anybody into their system and have it work. And it's just, that's not the reality. You need offensive linemen and you need a quarterback who fits you. And if you don't have that, it's not like the offense is bad, but it's not Lincoln Riley good. It's not top five. It's top 20.
Yeah. And we have one last one about, it's about.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Lastly for you both, does Signetti get poached? Thanks. Keep it meh, boys.
I don't think he does. I think he's going to stick around for a little bit.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I think the only wild card there is that he is older. And so he might want to strike while the iron is hot and go to like some truly, you know, one of the blue blood programs that's going to open up. Maybe LSU fires Brian Kelly. Maybe Florida State finds a way out from under Mike Norvell. Who knows? But I don't know. 1 year in.
It just doesn't seem like he would do that after a year.
No. And it sounds like Indiana has kind of stepped up to the plate in a lot of ways. Like their NIL isn't horrible. They've, you know, they're working on contract negotiations now to bump him quite a lot. So I think he'll have a lot of reasons to stay. It'll just be, you know, if it's a top five job that comes calling, then you got to take the phone call.
Yeah.
Hear what they have to say.
We got a couple in the chat. Colt, who goes down as the worst AD, Keonti Dan or Jarmond?
Hmm.
So he's talking about Dan. This is UCLA, Dan Guerrero, and Martin Jarmond, who was just extended.
My assessment of Jarmond, a lot of it comes back to my own personal feelings about some of these decisions. I don't think the Big Ten move is good for UCLA. Mm. And so I don't weight that as a positive in Jarmond's favor. I weight it as a negative. The Under Armour to Jordan Brand switch is a more high-profile brand, but UCLA's money is a lot worse with Jordan Brand than it was with Under Armour. And yes, Under Armour was going to end that contract anyway, but UCLA gets very minimal cash from their apparel deal, which is rarer.
Because they got a lot of cash from the Under Armour deal.
Ton of cash. And they had a decent amount of cash from the Adidas deal before that, but they're not getting much at all from Jordan Brand. So those two moves are, I guess they're splashy, but I don't know that they're actually good. And then the other stuff, I mean, I am, if anybody was hearing me talk about Chip Kelly at the end there, that was such a bad non-move to not fire Chip Kelly in November. And not doing that, that's what, for me, as like, you know, when I'm assessing ADs and their job performance and all that kind of stuff, what I'm mainly looking at, as a person who's following it from like user side, not admin side, because I don't care about money. What I care about is, are you properly managing and running your football and men's basketball programs? I'm kind of laser focused on that. And not firing Chip Kelly is one of those data points that knocks you way down in my book, because that's, again, from user side, like fan side, user side, that's the most visible and important stuff. And so then being in a position where you had to hire in February and then hiring Deshaun Foster, who could still work out. I'm not trying to judge the results based on the process. The results, it might work out, but you got to assess that process as a negative. So I don't think he's done a very good job at UCLA. The upside is he's younger and he can learn. He's certainly done a little bit better of a job embracing NIL than he was doing at the beginning. So the hope is that he continues to learn and grow on the job, and he'll have three more years to do it now. Dan Guerrero, I would say the baseline, like firing and hiring more or less on time. And yes, I know I'm looking at it through rose colored glasses in the past, but more or less on time. Like if you look at Durrell, it was more or less on time. Yeah. Rick Neuheisel, more or less on time. Jim Mora, more or less. I mean, honestly, that one was pretty aggressive firing. He was doing those key things more or less on time. The one big note against him was Steve Alford. That should have happened before. Ben Howland, maybe a year before, but it would have been hard. But for the most part, the key visible things for me were happening more or less on time. So I'd probably put him a nose ahead at this point, but Jarmond has upside. He's younger and he can learn. So we'll see.
All right. We also have, let me see, pull this one up. Mark, regardless of time zones, what are the record of the road teams in the conference this year? It seems like the road team loses all the time outside of the mighty Bruins. I don't know. I looked to pull that up. I didn't find it.
We'll try to look that up for next week.
There's
no point doing that on the air.
Yeah. And then one last one. Kevin, any thoughts on the legacy podcast of champions Utah versus Colorado game?
I mean, Utah's still trying to, I think, figure out everything they're trying to do offensively, right? And I think Colorado's pretty decent. I think Colorado wins. I don't know. I think they're favored by 11.5. I don't know if they cover, but I think they win.
It's in
Boulder.
So. I mean, yeah, like Utah's bad. And having your AD go off like that last week, I don't think it was a good look.
No, Mark Harlan, who brought Steve Alford to UCLA.
Oh, nice.
So screw him.
All right. Well, I think it's going to wrap it up. Fun show. Do you want to pose anything?
What would you like to do?
I don't know. You want to yawn? Like you were just yawning?
All right.
It's a good one. Okay. That's David Woods over there. And if you want to see like what we look like, here we are.
Hey.
I'm Ryan Abraham. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.